excited to be here, honored to be here because your pastor, Pastor Tay, has been such a good friend and encouragement to me, and I'm so grateful for his friendship, but also honored to be here with you all. This is my wife and my five kids here. We live in the city of Chicago in the far south side. We do ministry there, been there for about 12 years, and we know what it's like to live and serve and seek to share the good news and make disciples in the city. It's not an easy thing. It can be a challenging thing. And so I'm honored to be with a group of believers who love Jesus and who are seeking to do that in their own neighborhoods and on their own blocks in the city. That's really exciting to me. This morning, we're going to be talking about living in God's presence out of Psalm 84, the scripture passage that we just heard, this beautiful passage. And I think a good way to begin to think about the feeling of this psalm, you see it in the first verses, but is to think about an experience of anticipating presence, anticipating being in someone's presence. I think of when I was in college, my wife and I at the time, we were really good friends, and both, I think we both wanted to be more than just friends. We both knew that, but we weren't like dating or anything at the time. But we grew up in Oklahoma, and she was in Oklahoma, and I was going to college in Hawaii, which is really far from Oklahoma. So I would be gone for 5 months at a time during the semester, and I always look forward to returning back to be in her presence. Like, I really anticipated it. It was something that I would look forward to all semester. And I want to talk, we communicate, but still, there's nothing like being in someone's presence, being in the room with them. And it was the thing I was most excited about. And then when I got to travel back and we got to spend time together, it was the best part. It was the best part of being there. I anticipated it. I longed for it. I looked forward to it. I yearned for it. And that's what we see in this psalm, this anticipation of being in the presence of someone that you love and that you enjoy being with. That's the picture of this psalm. And we're going to talk about what that means, what it means to be in God's presence. The picture we're given is a desire to be in the presence of God. What does it mean to be in God's presence? So we'll start there. We'll start with a little bit of definition of terms. That's always important. What is God's presence? And what do we mean when we talk about being in God's presence or living in God's presence? Those are kind of, that's an ambiguous phrase to say being in God's presence. And even in the church, when we say that, we probably all have a lot of different ideas. Are we talking about the way we feel in certain moments of life? Feelings of reverence or awe or worship? Are we talking about feelings of joy? Or are we talking about when we get goosebumps on our skin because we're in a room and there's something really cool happening? Well, it could certainly be all of those things, but it's much more than just feeling something. We should feel something in God's presence. We see that throughout Scripture. God impacts, His presence impacts people in very tangible ways and impacts their emotions in very tangible ways. So we should feel something, but it's much more than that. And it's important for us to begin with the thought that God's presence is defined and bounded by Scripture. God's presence is inseparable from His word and from His character, from who He is. Everything that we see in this psalm about God's presence agrees with the testimony of the rest of Scripture about who God is. What it means to be in God's presence is defined by Scripture. So that's where we find the definition of what it means to be in God's presence. And it's also bounded by Scripture. That's what gives us the boundaries of what God's presence is. We know that God is infinitely holy and infinitely righteous. That's something that's clearly taught in Scripture. And so Scripture gives us those boundaries about how we can even enter His presence in the first place, how we can remain in His presence, live in His presence, and how we can experience His presence. Our entry into God's presence is defined by Scripture. This is something that is familiar to us, but it's worth reminding ourselves and rehearsing it in our minds. We come into His presence only by the grace of Jesus. That's the only way we can enter God's presence. We're only able to be in the presence of our infinitely holy God because our sin sins have been forgiven, and we've been covered in the righteousness of Christ. Otherwise, there's no way we could be in the presence of the infinite and almighty, perfectly holy and righteous King of the universe. You don't get into the room with someone who is powerful unless there's a reason for you to be there. And we have no reason to be in the presence of God apart from the grace of Jesus. Jesus cleanses our sin, and not only that, he gives us a robe of righteousness. He clothes us in his righteousness, and that's what gets us into the presence of God. That's what gets us into the room. And that only happens when we trust Christ for salvation and receive his free gift of grace by faith. There is no pathway to the presence of God apart from the atonement given by Jesus on the cross. That's really important to remember. Because in our modern times, a lot of people talk about spiritual experiences and enlightenment and connecting with God and all these things. And some of it sounds really good, but it's all a little ambiguous. And we have to, as Christians, we have to have the discernment to say, hey, if someone's describing a pathway into the presence of God that is not through Jesus, then they're not entering the presence of God, right? They might be entering some presence, they might be feeling something, there might be something going on, there might even be power involved, but it's not the presence of God. Our entry into God's presence is defined by Scripture. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." And that's how we enter God's presence, is because of the grace of Jesus. Remaining in God's presence is through Scripture. We remain in his presence as we obey his commands, his words, and his truth given in his word. Jesus, in John 8:31, he says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" He says, if you remain and dwell and stick in my word, then you're truly my disciples. You're truly my followers. So we remain in God's presence through Scripture, through reading his word, through being obedient to it, through continuing in it. We remain in his presence as we live in surrender and in sync with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has been given to the church to manifest the presence of God on earth. If we're talking about, okay, we want Scripture to define the presence of God and what that means, well, for us as disciples of Jesus, that's manifested by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God manifested his presence often through these theophanies, these big displays of his presence that were obvious to people, like a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, or when the temple was dedicated and the brightness of God's glory was present. And so that's how God manifested his presence. In the Gospels, the presence of God was manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus walked and talked, and he was in the room with people, and so people knew they were present with God because he was there. But since Jesus left the earth, remember in John 14 and John 16, Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going somewhere else, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. You're still going to have my presence. I'm sending the comfort. I'm sending the helper. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to guide you into the truth. He's going to remind you of the things I've said." And so the Holy Spirit for us is where we see the manifestation of God's presence. And that's so essential for us to remember, that Scripture tells us that's where it comes from. As we live and surrender and sync with the Holy Spirit, we live in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit indwells every true disciple and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit in us. And that's actually significant too, because that means we experience God's presence here, right? If the Holy Spirit is in each one of us, when we come together as the church, we experience God's presence with one another. And the Holy Spirit is at work through our brothers and sisters, encouraging us and caring for us and supporting us, but also holding us accountable and teaching us. And God uses one another to sharpen and to strengthen and to disciple us. The Holy Spirit in each other. And experiencing God's presence is given boundaries by Scripture. So our entry into God's presence is defined by Scripture, remaining in it is through Scripture, and experiencing it is given boundaries by Scripture. This is really important because there are a lot of, in our world, there are a lot of spiritual experiences and practices that people follow that don't fall within the boundaries of Scripture. They're not defined by Scripture. And that's something that we need to understand. We can evaluate those things based on Scripture. Whether it's a spiritual practice that someone says, hey, I do this and I really feel God and I feel like God is present here, we can say, okay, well, is this a practice that's defined in Scripture? If so, it's something that I can participate in. If it's not, if someone says, hey, I'm doing this pagan spiritual practice, but I really feel something, we can say, well, that's not the presence of God. You may really feel something, but it's not the presence of God, because that spiritual practice is not defined in Scripture. It's outside the bounds of what God has said. We can also think about our heart motivations, right? Scripture makes it clear that if we're going to go to God's presence, our heart motivation is centered on Him and His glory and on His priorities, what's important to Him. If we're experiencing God's presence and it's all about me, what I get out of it, and how it benefits my life, I'm probably not really experiencing the presence of God. It's not centered on me. It's centered on God. We can also evaluate thinking about the fruit, right? What comes out of it? We may say, you know, I had this great experience with God, and I felt the presence of God, and it gave me so much courage, and I realized that God actually doesn't want me to forgive my friend that I've been having a problem with, but I'm actually supposed to seek vengeance on them. We can say, well, that was the presence of God, right? Because that's contrary to what God teaches us in Scripture. What fruit comes out of it? If we have an experience and we say, I felt the presence of God, then the fruit that should come out of it should be aligning with Scripture and honoring to God in our lives. So God's presence is defined and bounded by Scripture. We experience His presence in His Word. We experience His presence in prayer and communion with Him. We experience His presence in worship of Him, focus and centering on Him. We experience His presence in obedience and service to Him. We experience His presence in the fellowship and the unity of the church that the Holy Spirit brings. The places where Scripture says this is where God's presence is, that's where it is. And the places that are not defined in Scripture, again, they can make us feel things and we can even see a lot of things take place. But if it's outside the boundaries of Scripture, we're not experiencing the presence of God. All right, so I wanted to get that out of the way first. That was the introduction, right? But we'll move through the psalm quickly. What we see in this psalm, let's look at the first four verses. We see a soul that longs for God's presence. Our souls should long for God's presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord, my King and my God. The bird also has found a house in the swallow and nest for herself where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising you or ever singing your praise. Our souls were created to be in God's presence. We were formed by our infinite and yet intimate Creator. God is infinite in all of His attributes, but He's also intimate. He's personal. He cares about us. He desires relationship with us. And God didn't make us just to exist in His world. He made us to be in right relationship with Him. That's what we were created for. There's a famous quote from Augustine of Hippo where he said, you've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And that's true. We were made for relationship with God. And that's in our hearts. Every human has this echo of eternity in their hearts. We long for God's presence. And because we're fallen and sinful as human, we seek to satisfy this longing apart from God. We seek to satisfy this longing with sources, with temporal pleasures that can never really quench our thirst. We seek to satisfy this longing with sources of security that can never make us safe. We seek to satisfy this longing in idolatry, but our pursuit of our pleasures ends up making us emptier. Our pursuit of security makes us more anxious ever, and our pursuit of false gods turns us inward towards ourselves. It's in our hearts. We want to be in God's presence, but we turn to all the wrong things. But us, as the people of God, for people who have a relationship with God through Jesus, we should know better. We should know where this longing can be satisfied. That's what we see in Psalm 84. The author of this psalm knows. He's one of the sons of Korah, the heading tells us. So he was a temple singer. He was someone who had spent a lot of time in the temple courts, worshiping God, living in worship. And he's describing his longing to be in the temple. His longing is not just for the beauty of the architecture or the serene, peaceful way that he feels when he's in the temple. His longing is to be in God's presence. His desire is to be in the place where God's presence rests. He uses this poetic language in verse 3, he's talking about this. Even the birds have a place in your temple, in your presence. So surely I should be there. He's talking about my soul is fainting for it. It's I'm craving it. I'm yearning for it. And that should be our hearts too. God's presence with his people is the heart of the entire Bible. God's presence with his people is the heart of the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant. God, when he was in the garden for presence with him, we broke it because of our sin. And the whole Old Testament is the story of God making a way to restore the presence, but also demonstrating through the Old Testament that we can't meet the standard. And then the New Testament is the story of saving Jesus to give a once for all sacrifice and to open the door wide for us to be present with God. The covenants are about God's presence with his people. That's what we're made for. And we, as the people of God, should know this. We should know that that's the whole point. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about trying harder. The Bible is not about, doing the right things and dressing the right way and showing up at church at the right times. The Scripture is about us knowing the God who created us. And that's why we're here today. And we should know that. We should long for it. And if we've experienced it as followers of Jesus, if we've experienced how good and sweet it is, then we should crave it. This in the psalm, we hear the voice of someone who's like, I've been there, and I know how great it is to be in the temple worshiping. And that's where I want to be again. And that should be our heart. As God's people, we should realize that the ache of our soul for more than what we have in this life, for more than the material, for more than just entertainment, for more than just, a great experience or a weekend or success or accomplishment, we all have an ache in our heart that says, this isn't enough. It's not really giving me what I need. And as God's people, we should understand that that's because we were made for God's presence. And we should nurture that desire. We should learn, just like in this psalm, we should learn to long for the presence of God and say, hey, I love a good meal just like everybody else. I enjoy a long weekend. I'm looking forward to Monday. I enjoy doing something, fun. I enjoy the common grace, the beautiful sunshine, all the good things that God has placed in this world. But what I really want is to be in God's presence. That's what I really desire. We should nurture that desire. Next, we see that God's presence goes with his people in verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is really powerful, what these verses are saying. Verse 5. The people of God who were in God's presence, the highest desire in their heart, the pathways to God's presence are with them always because they're in their heart. It's more than just a physical location for them. It's in their heart. They go through the Valley of Baca, a place of wilderness, and suddenly it's a place of springs for them. It's covered with pools of rain. Why? Because the presence of God is with them in their heart. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. given this picture of God's people, even in difficult places, experiencing blessing and joy in God's presence. God's presence goes with his people. God was present in the Old Testament covenant with those who sought after him and kept his commandments. God's present with us in the New Testament, in the church, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's a moment-by-moment presence that doesn't leave us. It goes with us. And as we see in these verses, God's presence carries unspeakable promises and power and grace. But here's one of our problems. It was a problem in the Old Testament. It's a problem for us in the church. So many of us are unaware of God's presence. We don't seem to know that it's there. In the Old Testament, so many of God's people lived lives that were functionally indifferent to God's presence. God was there. He wanted to meet with them, but they just functionally, you never would have known, right? They just did their thing. They worried about the practical stuff. They went to work. They did whatever. They found. They never spent time in God's presence. It was functionally indifferent. And it's easy to say, well, I can't believe they didn't figure it out, but it's exactly the same for us in the church, right? Even though we have the Holy Spirit present with us all the time, most of us live lives that are functionally indifferent to God's presence. God is with us, and we don't even know. And we're not even paying attention. We're just focused on, hey, this is what I'm thinking about right now. This is what I'm trying to do. These are my goals, my objectives. Here's what I have to do at work. Here's the things that I'm focused on in my life right now. And God is there the whole time saying, hey, do you want to hang out? And we never hang out because we're too busy and we've got all our stuff. And so we've got to learn in our practical day-to-day lives to be aware of God's presence and to be intentional about spending time with him. We often live as if God was not there at all. We don't seek his guidance. We just trust our own understanding. We don't ask God, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you have for my life? What are your desires for my future? We just say, well, here's what I know. Here's what I think works. Here's what my friend did. Here's what is a good idea. This is what the guy on TV said I should do, right? Or the influencer. We'll just go with that. We don't rely on his strength. We just trust our own abilities. Instead of stopping and saying, you know what? I can't do this without God. We just figure it out and say, well, here's kind of what I think I can get done and what I've got the strength to do. And we rely on our own abilities. And so we've got to learn to be aware of God's presence and say, no, God is with me and he wants to work through me. And if I am surrendered to him, he can do way more than I can do anyway. So I want to begin to be aware of it and live like it's true. Live like I know he's with me. And live like his power is available to me and his wisdom and his love and his knowledge. In the next few verses, we see that God's presence rests on genuine obedience and devotion. Verses 8 and 9. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. This is a desperate cry to God, this prayer, saying, God, hear my prayer. Look at what's going on in my life. Behold our shield. Look at the life of our nation and the things going on. This cry does not take God's presence for granted. It's a request for God's attention. And so many of us as God's people, just as we're not aware of God's presence, there are times when we take God's presence for granted. We may be aware of it and just take it for granted. In the Old Testament, God's people began to believe that because they were God's people, God's presence was a given. They thought that they could sin and rebel against God, but he would still be present in their lives. The prophets talk about this over and over. I'm just going to read Jeremiah chapter 7, the first four verses. It says this, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Jeremiah saying? He was saying that God's people were living in rebellion and disobedience to God. And yet they were telling each other, this is going to happen. The temple's here. Like, we're God's people. His name is here. And, you know, there's not going to be any consequences. I mean, we're God's people. What's he going to do? This is the temple of the Lord. They were taking God's presence for granted. They thought it would just continue on regardless of how they acted, regardless of whether or not they were obedient. One of the heartbreaking verses in the whole Bible is, to me, is Judges 16:20. After the story of Samson, probably all familiar with that story, and Delilah keeps trying to get the secret to his strength, and finally he tells her, she cuts his hair in verse 20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, and he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That's scary, right? Samson, he's thinking like, yeah, God's still with me. I'm going to do what I've always done. And he jumps up, and God's not with him. And he took the presence of God for granted. And in the New Testament church, we can make those same mistakes. We think that because we are God's people, who are called by his name, and gather in his name, our obedience and devotion don't matter. And we think that our behavior is immaterial. We think that because of God's past activity in our lives, just like Samson, that our present rebellion will be excused or overlooked. But that's not true. And we can't take God's presence for granted. The New Testament is clear that the Holy Spirit, which we said earlier, remember, is the manifestation of God's presence in the New Testament in our lives. The Holy Spirit increases or decreases the manifestation of God's presence in us according to our obedience and surrender or our disobedience and self-reliance. The New Testament talks about grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. God's Spirit will never leave us. We'll never be forsaken by God's presence if we're a true follower of Jesus. But we can definitely diminish the manifestation of God's presence in our lives if we're being disobedient. And the New Testament's clear about that. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't squeeze it down where nothing can get through because of your disobedience. And that, it happens to us all the time. And we say, why am I not hearing from God? Why, you know, I have this need, and I feel like God's not responding, and why is this thing happening in my life, and why am I confused, and why? And a lot of times, it's because we've just chosen to be disobedient and go our own way and do our own thing, and God has diminished the manifestation of his presence because we're being disobedient. And we took it for granted. And we thought, oh, yeah, well, I can do whatever I want. And if things kind of get dicey, then I'll go back and pray and we'll all be good. Don't do that. Not because God doesn't have grace. He does. And he will forgive and he will restore. But just because we can't take it for granted. The scripture's clear about that. We need to live a life of obedience and surrender to him. That's what we need to be doing. And as we do that, the manifestation of God's presence by the Holy Spirit in our life is actually increased. And we see more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we see more of God's power at work in our lives. And we see more of the joy and what we need, the strength to get through life. But that comes as we live a life of surrender and obedience. The next thing we see here is that God's presence is its own reward. Verses 10 to 12 says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. God's presence is his own reward, and that's important for us to understand. Because sometimes we start to get the lesson of the last point that we can't take God's presence for granted, that we need to be obedient and surrender, and we need to genuinely be obedient to God and be devoted to him. But we misunderstand and we start to commodify his presence. We see that throughout Scripture. People who are practicing an incomplete form of obedience to God's command that's just outward conformance. And they're like, well, I know that I need to obey God in ordinance and be obedient because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to, like, have stuff go bad. And, you know, I want to experience His blessing. So I'm going to try to shape up, right? But that's just outward conformance. It's not genuine submission and devotion of our hearts. That's just commodifying God's presence, right? The Pharisees were super good at that. Jesus never let them get away with it. They kept every rule. They looked great. They're, you know, from any external measure, they had it all together. But it wasn't real in their hearts. And we can do that too. We can say, okay, well, I want to make sure that I'm showing up at church and I'm, you know, trying to do this and trying to do that just because I want to get a desired result in my life. I want God's blessing. And what we see in these verses is this sound writer is clear that, yes, God's blessing rests on obedience. He says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. What an amazing promise. And we need that. We live in a world where it's tough. We need God's blessing. So I'm not in any way saying that we should not desire that. We should. I'm just saying that's not what we're after. We're after God's presence, not after the blessing. We're not just seeking God's hand in our lives. We're seeking His face. Look at the verses that surround verse 11, the promise of the blessing. Verse 10 says, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He's saying, it's not about the blessing. It's just about being with God. I'd rather be the lowest servant there just to be in God's presence. In verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. He's saying, it's good just to be the person who is relying on God. God's presence is its own reward. Sometimes we want God's blessing, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we don't really care about is the relationship. And that's what we have to guard against in our lives. Sometimes we pray and we say, God, help me to get the promotion that I'm looking for. Help me to pass this big test at school. Help me to find the person I'm supposed to marry, or to fix my marriage, or fix my family, or help me to feel better, or deliver me from trouble, or fix the politics of my city or my nation. We're always seeking a result. And that's okay. God cares about that. He loves us. He cares about those results in our lives. But a lot of times, a better thing for us to start praying would just say, God, let me be with you. Let me know you. Let me be in your presence. May your presence fill my life. May I know your word and your truth saturate every part of my mind. May the fruit of the Spirit flow out of my life. And then we can worry about the details, right? Because if we're in the presence of God and He's shaping us and changing us and changing our heart and changing our desires, then maybe our marriage gets a lot better just because of that. Or maybe we stop being so worried about the promotion or the accomplishment we've been pursuing and saying, you know what, that's not even what I want anyway. And so again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't desire God's blessing or that God isn't good. God is so good. God is so good that He's too good to just give us material stuff. He's so good that He says, no, the best thing for you is to come and to know me. So I'm not just going to give you everything you want in life. I want you to come into my presence. The best thing that could happen in your life is for you to know and experience God more. It's even better than having all of your desires met. If you could say, okay, today, here's 10 things that if these things happen, life would be perfect. You know, I need a lot of money. I need a really long vacation. I need a different job. I need, you know, whatever the list is. The best thing that can happen in your life is for you to know God more. It's better than getting everything on your list. And we need to learn to seek the goodness and the beauty of God's presence just for the sake of being in His presence. We should can seek God's presence so that God will bless us, so that we get what we want, so that we see the result. That's commodifying it. We should say, no, I want to be in God's presence just because it's the best place to be. That's what we see in this psalm. So I just want to encourage us as we close to desire, to seek, to be in God's presence. Again, it's defined and bounded by Scripture. It's not just a bunch of experiences that we imagine. Scripture tells us how to be in God's presence. But we have to seek it. We don't want to miss it. God's presence is infinite, but our ability to experience God's presence is not infinite. It's limited by time, because we're limited by time. That means we can miss opportunities to be in God's presence. Maybe that's happened to you. It's happened to me where, you know, you have a friend coming to town or something like that. They're only here for a few days, a limited amount of time, right? If you don't make a connection with them, you miss the opportunity to be in their presence, right? And that's how it is for us as human beings. We're on this earth for a set period of time. And so we have limitations to our opportunity to experience God's presence. Don't miss it. Don't miss an opportunity to be in God's presence because of sin. If you say, well, I'm struggling with sin, I'm struggling with these different things in my life, God's grace is always available, like we talked about at the beginning, through the atonement of Jesus. Forgiveness, repentance is simple. It's not always easy, but it is simple. And God's grace is always available. So don't let sin in your life cause you to miss out on God's presence. Turn to Him in repentance and surrender. Don't miss an opportunity to be in God's presence because of circumstances. Sometimes I know that. I think, well, it would be easier to be in God's presence if, you know, my neighbors weren't so loud. It'd be easier to be in God's presence if I wasn't busy. It'd be easier to be in God's presence if I had more solitude. I'm kind of an introverted person, so I think that a lot. Like, if things were quieter, I could really... But that's not true. Wherever you are in life, you're in the perfect place to be in God's presence. You're in the perfect place to trust God. God doesn't need to fix your job first, or your spouse, or your friends, or your apartment, or your weekends. Just go ahead and be in God's presence. The adversity and the challenges of your life, things that feel like obstacles that keep us out of God's presence, they actually should be a catalyst that drives us into God's presence. So don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss it because of time. Don't miss it because of sin. Don't miss it because of circumstances. Say, no, I'm going to be in God's presence. And I want to get there, and I want to live there. I want to be aware of God's presence. I don't want to live through life functionally indifferent to the fact that He's with me. I want to rely on Him. I don't want to take it for granted and just think, well, yeah, because I believed in Jesus, like, it doesn't really matter what I do. No, I want to live a life of obedience and surrender. And I want to seek the goodness of God's presence simply for the sake of His presence, not because I'm trying to get anything. And when that starts to happen in our lives, it's a really beautiful thing. When it starts to happen in the church, it's a really beautiful thing. Because God's presence is the character of God. And the character of God is everything that's good and beautiful in the universe. And so when we start to be filled with God's presence, when we as a people, as a church, begin to be filled with God's presence, that we start to manifest good and beautiful things. And other people are drawn to that. Other people say, I want to be a part of what's taking place. I see good and beautiful things coming out of your life because of the presence of God. Let's pray.